Good evening. It's Thursday night again. This is the discussion call. The time is 9:02. It's the 27th of September, 2018. And this call is where you can talk about anything that comes to mind, the views expressed by the talkers, callers. Are their views alone? They may or may not agree with the NLA. It's an open forum, and you can talk about whatever you like. There's been a lot of scuttlebutt, a lot of news on the fiction, whatever you want to call it. ABC, NBC, CBS versus what's on the internet. And I guess it all played out today. I haven't had a chance to listen to, I guess they had 9 hours of testimony by Dr. Ford, and our candidate for the Supreme Court. So if anybody was able to listen into that and could give us a brief synopsis, it might be of interest tonight. Apparently, you're all still working people and didn't have time to.
Well, this is Wilson from Tennessee. I listened to it.
Testimony. And what?
No, I listened. This is Wilson from Tennessee. Say I listened to both sides. I agree with the judge. I mean, she may have had that incident, but there's no way she could. There wasn't any proof that it was him. There was no evidence. Not a shred.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Right.
Nothing. You're innocent till proven guilty. There wasn't any evidence that could connect him to it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's.
I thought it was interesting when you hear something like that, and you've read or read and listened to things on the internet, to listen to the evening news, and oh, were they spinning it? You know, the last guy up says, well, you know, this will forever be in doubt and people will be wondering, you know, and it was just like nothing was decided, nothing was clear. The spin they put on it just makes you sit back and you understand why we're in the fix we're in. People have been listening to that garbage for all these years, you know.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
He proved to me that he wasn't there. I mean, his calendars proved that he wasn't there. Everybody that she brought up as witnesses couldn't collaborate her story. I mean, her being having a PhD in psychology, I don't know why she didn't figure out how to overcome this trauma. Personally, I mean, if she experienced...
If there was any, yes.
One thing I found...
Trauma is a strange thing. Yeah. Go ahead.
One thing I found interesting was she couldn't understand what the word exculpatory meant. Here she is, supposed to be an instructor in a college.
Well, having two master's degrees and a PhD, yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
Well, Dianne Feinstein...
Well, if you looked at her supposed...
Dianne Feinstein had a slight look on her face at the very beginning of that hearing, and they had her on the camera, and she was talking to somebody, and she gave a look at somebody. I don't know what it was supposed to indicate, but it was interesting.
Yeah, what do you think? I did hear a little bit of her commentary at the beginning there, at the very start of the session. That's about all I heard of it. She was really making a case for, you know, we've got to listen to Dr. Ford and blah, 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 blah. Well,
it was basically the same thing over and over and over and over. Different ones took parts of it, but it was the same thing.
So how are you betting? Are they going to vote tomorrow to confirm Are they going to delay?
I'm sure it will be. I'm sure it will be confirmed tomorrow. But who knows?
I don't think it's going to be confirmed. I don't think he's going to get confirmed because there's too much at stake. I mean, all these sealed indictments are supposed to be unsealed, and that's why it's important to get Kavanaugh on the bench. But I don't see it happening. I don't see it happening.
Well, you're right. It was very important. But I'm sure that if it doesn't happen tomorrow, it'll probably happen Monday because Trump is going to jump in there tomorrow.
They don't have the votes. Unless some Democrats switch over, because I know Susan Collins from Maine, she's not going to vote for him.
Well, when they see what's going to happen, there may be some changes. Like I say, Trump is all set to go. And if he jumps in there, you're liable to see a bunch of those guys disappear off of that Senate floor.
And make him the Godfather offer?
Yeah, I think it might be.
Like maybe the Democrats just won't show up for the vote?
Well, that'd be good.
But if they do vote, they're sticking their neck in the noose.
Yep.
Are we the only two on?
No. We have a bunch of silent partners.
It's a big deal if this guy gets confirmed. I mean, that's really a big deal for a lot of different reasons.
Somebody's got to pick up for the judge that was murdered.
Say again?
What about murder?
The Supreme Court justice that...
Antonin Scalia. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. We need a replacement now.
Well, we know why he went down.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it's really ironic that he went to that private club, I'll put it that way, and the man who killed him came in, and he was not a member of that club, but they allowed him in there to commit the murder.
Yeah.
Well, that whole investigation was just swept under the rug anyway. You got to understand the power of the Illuminati. I mean, you have to understand the power. They've been at this here for over 200 years. Well, probably longer than that.
I could say things, but I won't. And as I said, this was taken, this hearing was in the Dirksen building. And Dirksen called me about a week before he died. It was an accidental telephone call because there was one number between the number he wanted and my number. So as soon as he called me, I thanked him for calling, but I said, you've got the wrong number. Here's the number you want. And it was another local attorney. And about a week later, he was dead.
Well, did you report that to anybody?
Well, I'd like to hear what some other people got to say.
Congress passed the farm bill, which is a good deal, because inside that farm bill, They're going to legalize hemp. They're going to allow the
hemp.
Cultivation of hemp. Yeah.
Hemp never should have been made illegal to begin with. That was done by Hearst and his buddies.
Yep, that's
hemp
a good deal. They get that legalized.
Hemp was, I don't know how it was in the area that you're in, but in Illinois, it was a very, very important crop.
Right, throughout the Midwest.
Oh, it was the God's gift to the farmer. And Hearst had trees, and he wanted to sell the trees for lumber or for paper. And I think it's interesting that the Constitution was written on hemp. The uniforms of the World War II were made out of hemp. The rope was made out of hemp. The paper was made out of hemp. Everything was made out of hemp. And in fact, it was used for food.
There's over 50,000 products.
It was a very important, and it was not expensive. That's the big part of it.
It interfered with too many major industries in America today. You know, during World War II, and from 42 to 46, the United States had a 3-year plan where they grew hemp to pay off the war debt. As soon as the war debt was paid off, you've done away with the hemp industry again. Thomas Jefferson said hemp was the first necessity for the wealth and prosperity of a nation.
Exactly.
China controls 88% of the world hemp industry.
You know, hemp is easy to grow and does not require fertile soil either.
No, it leaves the soil more fertile after it's done. It's probably one of the best crops you can grow in between growing season from whatever your farmer grows.
You didn't have to plant hemp. The birds would plant it for you.
Isn't hemp like bamboo? Is it similar to bamboo?
No, not really.
What they use out of the hemp is the fiber content of the stalk and the core of the hemp has a cork, has a wooden fiber, a wooden core, and it's used to make hempcrete. It's used for making all kinds of things. I mean, just all kinds of things. But that's why that they took it off the market, because there's too many competitions with a lot of the other industries. So the big conglomerates, they just decriminalized it. I mean, they took it off the market. They legalized it. Made it illegal.
Well, in 1950, I was working for a construction company at that time, and we had to burn 40 acres of hemp in order to build the buildings on it we were to build. Now, isn't that interesting? They just burn it. The railroad had flamethrowers on engines, and they would go down the railroad burning the hemp away from the railroad. Yeah, it didn't take anything to grow it. Didn't cost anything. And there was a lot of money in it.
2,300% markup from crop to consumer.
You could, get,
research,
you could get four crops normally in Illinois here a year, and it would be 6 feet high or higher each time it was cut.
The closer you grow it together, the taller it gets.
Well, people have no idea. And, of course, it was kept quiet. They didn't want anybody to know what it was good for.
Well, it certainly makes the United States grow again, because with over 50,000 products that are derived from hemp, it'll certainly create a lot of jobs. A lot of manufacturing, because a lot of processing plants need to be built. We've only got four of them here in the United States right now.
Was it the paper industries that were against it?
Yeah.
Paper, cotton, lumber.
It was really Hearst and his friends that did it in. Newsprint.
Well, the thing about hemp, when hemp was used for making clothing, it did not wear out.
Really?
It's breathable.
I think it's really exciting. They're going to bring it back.
Very exciting.
I have been pushing it for a couple years now. And it's just, it has so many uses.
Over 50,000.
Oh, wow, I didn't know it was that many.
Yeah. And they all benefit humans.
Did it have a connection to marijuana? Did it have a connection to marijuana, though? Seems like I remember something.
Hemp and marijuana were not the same.
No, they're two different types of plant, and they're related. Hemp has no THC in it.
Well, the fiber content is... Marijuana's got only got a 15% fiber content, and hemp's got a 45% fiber content. So there's really no money in the marijuana as far as utilizing it for hemp or any of the products derived from hemp, other than the CBD oil.
Well, in the 40s, when they were trying to get rid of the hemp, they called it marijuana and tried to tell everybody it was no good for them and we had to get rid of it.
Well, they legalized, the United States had a program back in 1943 to 1946 where they grew hemp for 3 years just to pay down the war debt. That's...
I took the woman downstairs, she was just a neighbor at that time, up to Princeton, and she wanted to go up there to get some dishes. On the way up there, I couldn't go up the highway because they were working on the highway, so I had to take the back roads in. So I was pointing out all of the hemp that was growing along the road. She didn't know the difference of that weed, but she got a chance to see how it grew so easily.
Part of the program by the government is that those who grew the hemp to be commercialized, they had to have a 15-foot barrier around the entire crop.
That is...
Corn. They had to grow corn around it. Because they don't want the hemp to flow over. It's very invasive.
You couldn't control it that way. Once it started growing, it just kept moving on and on and on. Because once those seeds fell, it grew.
That's why they had a 15-foot barrier going around the crop that grew it for the government. I mean, it's all documented. I mean, you can go on Google and, you know, Google all this information. It's all out there. They have a book on how the government built up the industry and took it back down again. But yeah, that's very invasive. It's a weed.
Is that part of the reason why they made it illegal?
They made marijuana illegal because they didn't want the hemp industry to flourish, because it put the cotton industry out of business, it put the lumber company out of business, it put, you know, a lot of different companies out of business. I mean, it really diminished their returns. So, like I say, now there's a 2,300% markup from the field to the consumer. That's a lot of money to be made.
That was the beauty of it.
Well, that's today. Back then, I mean, that wasn't the case. They had cotton industry, the wood pulp industry, growing the poplar trees that grow really quick that can be put down into pulp easily. Soft woods. I'll yield.
May I comment on the Kavanaugh hearings? Jen?
Go right ahead.
Yeah, I haven't heard the woman. I've seen the Kavanaugh, and it's different to be on the defensive than to be a judge. And, you know, I've been in the court, and he didn't did well. He sobbed. He was pulling the air through the nose. He pretending. He didn't took it like the man, and he was evading the questions. However, I want him to be confirmed. And I don't know his past history. However, he worked for George Bush during the invasion of Afghanistan and Iraq, and the big issue then was the military commissions, and then I don't know his stand. He makes some decision over there. So to me, this is negative. And who was right, who was wrong? Obviously, if somebody comes 36 years there with some allegation, that's supposed to be, I know in the common law is no statute of limit, I mean, no time limits, but it's kind of silly. But this country is divided. They want to remove to the, whatever Trump does, either, you know, good or bad, is wrong. I mean, whatever Trump does, either, you know, go to war, do the tariffs, the Democrats are against him, not for what he doing, what may be good or bad for the country. They just against him totally, so. Didn't look good, but the positive thing was that Jeff Flake from the Arizona, he didn't ask any question, but he was very cordial. And he is the, there is 11 Republicans and 10 Democrats, and he said early that he will not support the Kavanaugh, so then would be one vote advantage on the, to the Democrats. But we will see tomorrow, probably 9:30, if there is the consensus for the passing him to the vote on the full Senate, then I yield.
Anyone else have another topic for the evening?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. It's Crystal. I got some more papers back. Again, they were going to go full speed ahead with this illegal foreclosure, which I filed the form 1938, the Foreign Exchange Amendment. Today, well, I got the papers back from the appellate court, and this is unbelievable because, like, the judge all them, they recused themselves. The other attorneys jumped ship or what have you. So they gave it to another set of attorneys or what have you. Proof of claim, due process, mortgage fraud, RICO, and all that I put on there. I have my warranty deed and all this other stuff. So the three letters I received from the appellate court, guess who signed up on it? It was the assistant clerk. So I took it right back down to the court. I said, are you really serious? I said, this is illegal and this is total fraud. Where's the judge's signature? So I said, it do not accept fraud. I put RICO on it, and I want this case dismissed. So I guess before, when I found out about this yesterday, they had everything in the works. So I just got the other stuff today, so I will handle that. But I did manage to fax everything over to the appellate court, the federal court, the superior court, and I wrote on another thing everybody needs to write, whenever you sign off on anything, you write by, your name, comma, agent on everything, whether it's your checks, anything you send them, or you would say authorize, it's representative, authorized representative and your name, and then again, comma, agent. So, it's just like I was having very much success in the courtroom. Even the judge was quite impressed, and so was some of the attorneys that I dealt with in the past. One even offered me a job to work for them. I was like, please. We're trying to get all the people with everybody that we come in contact to get involved with the NLA, knowing their constitutional laws. Any case under $20, you could have a common law grand jury, which they violated our constitutional rights. And also, any case that any court comes after you with, they only have 1 year and a half to prove their case on both sides. If not, the case has to be dismissed. I have the transcript on how I presented my case, and I will get that over to John so that can be posted. So there's a lot of good pointers in there. And basically, that's all I basically had to say. So they gave me a court date again for the 10th or whatever. But I'm putting this other stuff together because we discussed about having everything totally discharged. If anybody has any suggestions on what I can do or what else I need to do, welcome to hear. That's all I have to say.
Thanks, Crystal.
Crystal, I have to say, I think you're hitting the nail on the head with, the thing about the clerk's signature and not the judge's signature. This is a big problem. I mean, these highly paid people who have the authority and responsibility are not stepping up to the plate, and it should be their signature.
Right, but see, why they won't put their signature on it is because on all the papers that I've been sending them, it's the foreign exchange of 1938. They have no jurisdiction, and that form is about, they all have to be registered, okay, with the IRS and all them, and see, nobody knows what they're making, what they're receiving, settlement cases, and what have you. Okay, so literally that 1938 form, legally, they have...
I'm not following.
They have no... I'm sorry?
Okay, I get the jurisdiction thing. You're saying they don't have jurisdiction?
They have no jurisdiction. And so every paper I...
They're not signing?
Absolutely not, because they're not registered. And when you go on your website, you can see whether they're registered under the foreign exchange. So, in other words, they're making money.
They can't sit on the fence and say, we don't have jurisdiction, but yet they're continuing the case. They can't.
No. You didn't hear what I said. I sent them to what I've been doing. I sent every time I get a letter from the courts, I send it to the chief judge, and comma ETAL, the chief clerk, comma ETAL, the chief state attorney, comma ETAL. And then we made up a second sheet on all the people who we signed it to, and there's 20 lines. So what we've been doing, we've been, you know, putting some of their names on it. And, you know, sometimes there might be four or five names. We sent it to Richard Blumenthal. We sent it to Murphy, you know, whomever you want to send it to. But I only did like four or five. And at the bottom I write CC, comma, and I wrote like maybe 15 others. And I didn't write who we sent it to. On that, they are not responding, okay? As a matter of fact, that's when the judge who's been harassing me, the retired judge, then he recused himself from my case. The other attorneys jumped off the case. Now it's another new set, you know. So they want nothing to do with it. But the appellate court, when I sent it to the appellate court, the chief appellate court judge, the chief appellate clerk, you know, and I put the ETA. So guess who signed off on all that stuff? They said it was frugless. It was the assistant clerk. She signed off on all three pages, which is totally illegal because she has no authority. So I sent it back. Where is the judge's signature? This is
right,
bogus,
this is what I'm saying,
and illegal.
They're hiding in their ivory towers, making big money. I mean, and they're not taking any responsibility or exercising their authority.
Well, I'm just letting you know what this is what I'm doing, and this is I kind of think it's working because we're all starting to follow through with this.
I just think you're on the right track by exposing the fact that it's being signed by a clerk and not someone,
yeah.
You know.
Well, see, I got another paper today, and it wasn't signed off by nobody. So
right,
I'm going to bring that back down tomorrow. Yeah.
Sounds like
you know,
to me you're
just
claiming.
I'm sorry?
It sounds like you're claiming your unalienable rights.
Okay. Well, I just hope everything goes well. And, what they're going after me now is for back taxes. And I'm like, first of all, we are always paying a year behind in our taxes. The tax date for our state is October 1st. So whatever you own on October 1st of whatever year, you receive your tax bill. Excuse me. July 1st, that's just a new fiscal tax year, and it's broken down. And I said, are they for real? You know, like my second quarter is due October 1st, and you got the whole month to pay it, you know. So everything's in current, but see, it's just like the average Joe Schmo they might have been falling for it. A lot of people lost their homes illegally because nobody signed off on it, you know. I thank God I have the advantage because I worked in this department, so I basically am very familiar with, you know.
Did you say that John was posting some of your stuff?
Yeah, but if he's one, I can get it over to you. Who's this, Lori?
No, this is Linda. Linda in Virginia.
Oh, hi, Linda. Oh, you're in Virginia?
Yes.
Well, you got my number, so if you want me to fax it over to you, I'll fax it over to you. So you can post
actually,
it. Like, if it's
I tried your number, and it didn't work. I'm not sure what's going on, but...
Which number? That ends with the four ones?
I don't know. I'd have to check.
All right. Well, that's but I'm hardly ever. But
I keep moving it.
Yes,
the
401. Okay. If you call me early in the morning, I'll give you my I'll give you the cell number. Okay? And then I'll get it over and fax it to you. Call me. What time do you get up in the morning?
I think I sent you a text, and
now, you're not on that phone. You can't send me. That's why I said call me on that number that you have in the morning.
Oh, okay.
Like if you want to call me
okay.
at, call me and I'll give you the other number. So then I will and I'll take your number and I'll fax it over to you when I go out tomorrow.
How early?
You can call me around what 7:30.
Okay.
Because it is very important, you know. And
well, I do know that exposure is everything.
Well, everybody's starting to catch on. As a matter of fact, they don't want people even in the courtroom. A lot of people are there jumping ship and what have you. So. And also with the Social Security. Go ahead.
The whole thing with people jumping in and then jumping out and, you know, different people getting involved. But yet it's continuing and continuing.
Well, see, what they're doing here, they got all these young, new attorneys that don't know nothing. And it's the old ones. They're like, forget it. You know what I'm saying? They don't want
they
did the criminal activity so long, now they got the other ones, you know.
They also don't have as much to lose as far as, you know, being culpable.
Well, there's a few. As a matter of fact, what I found that was very interesting, I went for a hearing, I guess about over a year ago. With the Social Security, everybody needs to find, whenever you're dealing with any attorney, make sure you get their jurist number. Now, I found out this one particular one, actually this two, they became judges, but they're acting judges. And when I called on this one particular one, and I said, can I please have the jurist number, they said, Oh, he doesn't have a jurist number no more. He got, he lost his jurist number, and he has very bad standing. I said, wait a minute, but I think he's a judge. So then I found out, you know, to find out, I called around to try to get his jurist number as a judge. He doesn't even have that. And well, wait a minute, so how's he ruling and presiding over cases, and he has no jurist number? Which is, you know. So anytime we're dealing with any attorneys, make sure you get all their jurist number and what have you, too. Because when I called, they said they did not have good standing. Yeah. So we got a lot of fake people out here with fake titles.
I'm thinking that they only have a jurist number if they're a bar attorney, right?
A judge would have it too, because none of them have license.
That would be a question for Brett, I guess.
Excuse me?
I said that would be a question for Brett as far as jurist number and all that.
Well, I've been dealing with the jurist number, and that's when I write the grievances up and all that, because they have to have the jurist number. But again, when we were looking for the jurist number on two of them, they don't have no jurist number, nor as a license. One was disbarred, and now he was a judge, and he has no juris number. I said, how does he not have a juris number? Can't I? I said, because it is public information. They said, well, he doesn't have one. We don't have one for him. So I found that quite interesting.
Yes.
You won't find any numbers for any city, county, state office or any of the attorneys or any of the people who are in government anywhere. They have to have a letter of approval from the IRS. It has to be issued yearly.
Right, and that's under that form 1938. You're right.
And it will not, you won't find it anywhere in the world. Interesting.
Absolutely.
They're all operating unconstitutionally because people let them do it. Let's put it that way.
Well, as I said, people don't. We're learning. As we learn, we share with each other. You know?
Well.
One thing in life, we remember, everybody has someone to answer to. And it's just like, okay, you know, for doctors, how do you know he's a legitimate? Well, you could contact the medical. And also, you get find out his medical license, whether he's legit or not, you know? Same
what
thing
is a license?
The attorneys
what
and judges. I'm sorry.
What is a license? What is a license give a person?
Well,
it allows something to be done, which they don't have the authority to do.
Well,
it's like a
okay. Well, what about for a doctor? Don't we want a doctor to have a license that he went to school and he, you know, completed and had his work experience? Or do we want somebody with a fake license, not knowing what they're going to do, or saying I'm a doctor, but they never even gave anybody a stitch or whatever the case is? You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. That's because we have been lied to from the time you were born.
Even before that, but yeah.
People have no idea of the corruption that's taking place, and they've been kowtowed with it. Going back to the hemp, I mean, it started back in 1776 or before. Actually before. If we go back to the Bible and we go according to the Bible, you don't need licenses and so forth. If the people do something that cause you harm, they are responsible.
Right, and that's what I want to start putting together on that. Because we've been terrorized by these people, and it's horrifying.
Exactly, because...
You know, and people are losing. People have had heart attacks. People have died. People are having strokes. They're breaking up families. This is a horrifying nightmare. I'm in court all the time. It's just like... So many people are calling and leaning on me because, as a matter of fact, they put us on YouTube with Richard Blumenthal about the illegal foreclosures. But one thing we finally got him to say on national TV and YouTube, anybody who's a veteran, they stop the foreclosures, you know. And people got a lot of money also coming back from Social Security. I cannot believe the incompetent people. I got 5 different answers from 5 different people, and they've been ripping me and everybody, a few others off. And I said, well, you know, because I was supposed to start getting my husband's. He had passed away. And they have the audacity to say, well, you're only going to get 100 in 67. I said, are you crazy? I said, all the money that I put into Social Security, I said, but my husband never got the chance to collect the day. So whichever is the highest two. And she goes, oh, it doesn't matter. Yeah, it does matter. I said, where's the money going to? Well, it's going into a general fund. Oh, really? Well, I don't recall anybody putting anything in our general fund. You know? I mean, it's a nightmare what they've been doing.
I'll tell you a little bit about how they're doing this. In yesterday's paper, front page, it says Peoria. Hang on a minute. The Peoria ceremony, second largest in the United States, with 685 naturalization candidates. The man who did this was the chief judge in the federal court, who has intermarried with several other people, and they are controlling things happening here. And immediately when these people got their naturalization, they were told they could vote in this election. Interesting. How can they vote in an election when they don't even know who the hell's in it? Elections are nothing but put on to keep you and I confused. No, Trump is on the right track. If he can get this going and start getting rid of these judges, especially these federal judges, maybe some of these people below will get scared and back out. As you said, these lawyers have nothing in common with the law. None. I took several under my wing. I took them out, and they got in meetings with us. And when they started hearing what was going on, they said, well, we were never taught any of that law school. They came back to Peoria, and they started winning all their cases. They had their lives threatened because they were taking the money away from the quote-unquote lawyers who were living high on the hog. At one time, I'll go back in 1950. In 1950, a lawyer could not advertise. Interesting.
They're on the buses, billboards, they're all over the place.
Exactly. He could not have
and
his
we
name
got
on the window.
33,000 in our state. They own the charter schools. They own the. They're privatizing the jails. They are stealing the Hartford, Connecticut. Over 42% people lost their homes. Over 70,000 in our area lost their homes and businesses and all. It's a nightmare. And they're all going into the attorney's names and trusts.
Exactly. You're talking to one who lost everything he had. They took my guns. They took everything. They took the gold I had. It just disappeared. Nobody knew what happened to it. Yeah. I know exactly where you're coming from, honey, but I'm a little bit older than you.
Well.
No, we've got to get rid of these people and get them out of these offices. And they should not be replaced.
No. It's just awful. Totally awful.
Well, it's just like I say. There's 685 people who received naturalization. And they know nothing about our government. If they did, they probably wouldn't want anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
I won't go any farther on that.
Oh, as I said, it's, you know, It's very enlightening, and I just wanted to just keep you abreast what we've been doing up here.
Well, I had a couple judges. One had been a judge advocate in the Air Force. When he retired from the Air Force, they put him on the circuit here in Peoria. When I sat in front of him, he saw the stuff I had, and he said, "You are more equipped than the majority of lawyers coming in this office."
Mm-hmm.
He ruled in my favor. They threatened him. Threatened his life. Interesting.
Yeah. Quite so.
I went on the house that the last house that I lived in. They stole it. I told them that they had no authority to do what they were doing. And the judge who was sitting there at that time said, "I'm going to go in the other room. I'll be back in a few minutes." He came back and he said, "You are winning this case." I walked out, and when I walked out, the people who were trying to steal it from me threatened me. I thought that was interesting.
They threatened you.
Right in the courthouse. You can't get in that courthouse unless you go through a metal detector. They got it down to where you can only get in one door. You can't get into a courtroom if they know who you are. I have been around this city for 85 years.
Wow.
And people know who I am. People know who I am. A lot of them think I'm nuts. Which I probably am.
Well, all the messes they put you through. What state do you live in?
Illinois.
Oh, okay.
Illinois is the most corrupt state in the Union.
I think they're all corrupt.
They are all corrupt, but Illinois is the most corrupt. That's why Chicago is quite in trying to keep control up there. I've gone through some magazines my son brought to me, and these were magazines back in the 40s, Life magazine and so forth. And I will, if I can uncover them here, hang on a minute, and I'll read what this thing says here. Okay. I'm talking about Chicago now. Said the city is the biggest railroad hub in the world. That is in 1944. I'm going to turn a couple more pages here, and I'll give you the information about Chicago. Chicago has two waterfronts. One is the river, and the other is Lake Michigan. The title of this article is Mayor Kelly, Chicago. A strong Democratic boss runs a lusty city. And it tells how corrupt he is. Here in1968, in a Life magazine, it says an ex-con who spends big on candidates, guess where? St. Louis. Interesting, isn't it? This has been going on forever. I won't go into any more of it, but I'll go back to when Cermak was the mayor of Chicago. He was shot, and when he said to Roosevelt, Roosevelt was in the car with him, and he said to Roosevelt, he said, they were supposed to shoot you, not me. And you never heard that. Roosevelt was then shot. He had started his fourth term, and he was shot in the head. He had a closed casket. People swore by him. He was the cause of a lot of what's happened in this country, because until he got back into office or got to be president, some of this was taking place, but he was the one who made it concrete. He wanted us in the war, and he got us in the war. He had a mistress that came to be with him in the White House. Eleanor was his cousin. Eleanor was a good gal. People don't have any idea of what's going on or how it's going on. But once he got his fingers in this pie, I'm going to exaggerate here a little bit. But, oh, boy, the guy was a cousin, and I can't even think of his name. Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill was an alcoholic. Winston Churchill gave Roosevelt the information and how to set up these laws that he put in 1933. They worked together. I know I'm getting off the line, but these people, just a handful, are controlling everything that's happening in this world. They've got to be stopped and gotten rid of. I'm not saying to kill them, but we've got to get them out of those offices and let them know that if they get in those offices again, they will be put in prison. That's why they're trying to put all these prisons in private hands. Because if they're in private hands, you and I have nothing to say about them. That's why if you look at some of these Walmart stores that are closing, they are converting some of those into prisons. Why? Because they want a place to put you and I. Target store here locally has probably got, I'll say at least 50 semi-trailers parked in the parking lot, roped off. I've asked the question, why? Well, maybe the answer came up the other day because they said that they're going to redo their stores. Now, that means nothing to me, unless maybe they're going to make them into prisons. People, wake up. I know the majority of people on this telephone call have already heard most of this, but there's an awful lot they haven't heard. Hi, you.
Okay. Unmuted.
Thank you, dear.
All righty. I'm going to say good night. Hello?
I'll say good night also.
I'll say good night also.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that with me. and, you know, for everybody with your input.
Good night.
And I'll keep you abreast, okay?
Good night.
Keep fighting. Keep fighting a good battle, honey.
Okay. And pray for me, and I'm praying for you. Okay. You have a good evening.
You do the same.
Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.